Blog Talk Radio.
The daily go get 'em is a show. We do this every single day, every single day, every day. Every day it rains, every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. We break it down, baby. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. I'm your host, Sun 752, a.k.a. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Daily Go Get 'em Ism Show. All up in your area, I'm feeling like a real man should. And I hope y'all feeling like real men and women should also tonight on the Daily Go Get 'em Ism Show on this pretty petty Tuesday. We are talking about going outside to escape the hate. Going outside to escape the hate. Does the place where you live, is the place where you live filled with hate? Does the place where you live make you hate yourself? Do you hate your living conditions, which makes you hate yourself? Now, it may sound ridiculous to people who like to be at home, people who are homebodies, people who have crafted, designed, and made their house to be exactly what they wanted it to be. For people who have finally established a home, whereas before maybe they just had somewhere where they lived. I'm not saying that you were homeless or houseless, but saying that maybe before you were on a journey to find a place where you could call call yourself home and where you can feel at home. And feeling at home is not something that you can really discount if you are a person that's searching for that. You know, a lot of times people take their home life for granted when it's good, when it's filled, when it's healthy, when it's filled with love, when even when there are challenges, but challenges that can be overcome, challenges that can be dealt with. You know, when you are in a space in your life where you don't even know what feeling unhappy is, or when you are unable to feel what being lonely is, it can be easy for you to take for granted what it feels like to hate where you live, to hate going home, to get off of work or whatever and travel all around the city, all around the town, state to state, place to place, trying not to have to go home, or only going home when you have nothing to do at home but come in, turn the lights on, get undressed, turn the lights off and go to sleep, and get on up out of there in the morning. That's almost like living in a hotel. And like I said, that can be the case whether you live with somebody or whether you live alone. It can be a really terrible place. A home or a house or a place to live can be a terrible place to live if it's filled with anxiety, if it's filled with fear, if it's filled with sorrow, if it's filled with anger, if it's filled with a whole lot of negativity that you would rather avoid or not deal with or not have to encounter day in and day out. Going out to escape the hate. Y'all know, I mean, y'all all have worked at jobs where coworkers, or even yourself, if you've ever been through this, you know, works all the overtime that's available, even though it's not that you love your job that way. It's not that you appreciate what you do that much. It's not that the job gives you that much fulfillment, but at home may be just so lonely, so dark, so unfulfilling that you feel like, yo, I got to get on a body here. So you're either planning to stay later and later at work or find more and more things to do outside of the home as possible, or are always planning your next vacation. You know, you're out of the house like somebody who is in showbiz is, and you ain't nobody that's in showbiz. Sometimes I think this situation exists, and we don't even recognize it. We don't even see it for what it is. You know, we may just think, well, you know, such and such is always on the go. Such and such is such a go-getter. Such and such is, you know, they heads are always out there in the streets. I'll tell you this, and this is something a lot of people don't think about. You know, when you look at our dope boys, seriously, and I'm going to tell y'all what made me think of this. When you look at our dope boys, you know, drug dealers, cats that are out there on the corners trying to escape justice all the time, always putting themselves out there to have to run from the law, run from gangs, run from rival crews, run from violence, run from chaos, run from drug addicted clients. They are out there on those blocks 24/7. 24/7, they are out there on those streets risking their lives and their freedom. And you know what we hardly ever think about when we see them out there? Whether that's what they want to really do, whether that's really where they want to be. You know, people think selling drugs is easy, and it's not. It's not easy at all. It's a hard job, actually. There's no intensive labor, but the hours are long as fuck. Long as hell. Well, you're out there selling drugs. You have to be out there no less than 12 to 16 hours a day. All in one spot. You're out there. You're hardly ever home. A lot of times when people see drug dealers, you ever ask yourself, where they live. And I'm going, like I said, I'm going to tell y'all what made me think of this. Okay. First of all, the drug dealers from around my way, I don't know where any of them live. There was one who that I know where they lived because they lived right around the corner. Like, I actually knew where he lived. The other ones, I don't know where they live. What I do know is that they don't live on my block. They don't live on my block. They don't live on my street. And they don't live on the adjoining streets either. I don't know where they live. But I know that they don't really live where they work around here. I know that for a fact. And I had to ask myself, I wonder where they live. Wonder if where they live is where they want to live. I know for a fact that the way they're living is not the way they want to live. Trust me, if you had another way to make good money out there in the world, you wouldn't choose to sell drugs. Because nobody wants to be running from the cops all the time, feeling anxious all the time, being raided for trying to make money all the time, being, you know, stopped and frisked and going back and forth to jail, back and forth to court. Nobody likes that. But what made me think about it was I was watching the show on Showtime. It's called The Chi. I don't know if you ever watched the show. It's a series on Showtime, and it's called The Chi. And it's a good series. It's about this family. Actually, it's about three families on that live in Chicago. And all of them are somehow related to each other in some kind of way. You know, whether through friendships, relationships, blood related or something like that. There's a connection between all of the characters on the show. And in the last episode, the mother of one of the stars, the teenage stars on the show, she found some money that he won. He actually won the money by he's good at video games, so he entered a video game tournament and won a bunch of money. And she found the money in his drawer. She wasn't necessarily looking for anything of his, but she found the money in his drawer, and the money was like wrapped up, you know, you have a rubber band around a wad of money that was rolled up. She found money like that. And she said, I know he's out there selling drugs. Now, on the show, that boy is always home. Home all the time. Home. And I was thinking, like, if he was selling drugs, he would not be in the house as much as he's in the house. There is no such thing as a homebody dope dealer. Not at his age. They got to be putting in the work. They don't even go to school. They don't. Dope boys, they be, if you ever saw the attendance record at school for dope boys, you would see that they don't go to school. You can't. Because your boss, whoever your plug is, they ain't trying to hear that you had to go to school or you'll beat the block when you get home. Uh-uh. This is not a job for people who have home obligations, school obligations, and none of that. You can go home for a few minutes or whatever, drop off whatever money, stash whatever it is you got to do, but you have your ass back out there on the block because customers are waiting. So I said, you know, she was sure. Like, I know he's selling drugs. And I'm thinking, like, now, I know they have a lot of drug dealers in Chicago. It's a big city. It's bigger than Philly. Chicago has 3 million people in it. That's double the the amount of people in Philly now. So I'm like, that wasn't well written. But anyway, I never really thought about it before. Do dope dealers hate their home life? Have you ever thought about it? Certainly, I'm not the only one who has known drug dealers. Well, think about the ones that you've known. I'm thinking about the ones that I knew. And how about that? They wouldn't hardly ever home. And when they came home, it was some shit going on. Well, how about that? Okay, so do drug dealers hate their home life? Is home where the hate is? How about entertainers, singers, actors, comedians, dancers, musicians? They out there on the road all the time. Some express how they don't like being out there all the time. They want to come home. A lot of them say, shoot, I love being out there on the road. We out there getting money. That's where the groupies are. You know, it's exciting. I love it, blah, blah, blah. And they'll do it until they can't do it anymore. Well, have we ever thought about, well, maybe they like what they do more than they like their home. Maybe they keep doing what they do at a high level, a higher and higher level, because they don't like their home. It's just a question. And I think it's a question that we don't take into consideration or that we don't ask a whole lot. But what do you think? Could it be that entertainers and athletes aren't able to enjoy their home life? Andy Reid, the head coach for the Kansas City Chiefs, was head coach for the Philadelphia Eagles for 14 years. 14 years. From 1999 until 2013. And we had a little bit of a window into Andy Reid's home life. Now, if you don't know, Andy Reid is a Mormon. He went to a Mormon school, BYU. He and his family are Mormons. Now, I don't know if you know anything about the Mormon faith. But, you know, they're allowed to have multiple wives and shit like that. It's an American-based sect of Christianity. They hate Indians, American Indians. And yes, I do mean hate them. They slaughtered a whole bunch of them. That's what Mormons did. You can say whatever you want to, but that's what they did. Indians, American Indians, Native Americans, whatever you want to call them, were definitely the target of the Mormon faith. Anyway, Andy Reid had two sons that were running around Jersey acting like thugs. Andy Reid made a bunch of money being head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Took us to a Super Bowl, took us to four consecutive NFC championships. One of his sons wound up finally, I think he died by overdose or whatever, but his sons, and he only had two sons, you know, they were troubled. And Andy Reid, being the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, did not have the time to dedicate to trying to get his sons' lives together. As a matter of fact, the year where he had his worst year in coaching the Philadelphia Eagles was the year that his son died. And get this, for those of y'all who remember, he only took off a few days when his son died. He like, most people would say, listen, you know, that was a tragic incident. You know, my hero, my son, my, I mean, who has a child that dies at a young age and only takes off a day or two from work? Sure, you had to get back to your obligation as a football coach, but that shit was going to, they would have waited on you. But you made sure you got back to probably the thing you love, cherished, and valued the most. And that sure wasn't your home life. Sure, the media tried to portray it like he really loves his family, his wife, his sons, and he would do anything for them, and he tried so hard in order to get them together. I'm not buying it, sorry. I've seen parents of children who had drug problems, thug problems, social problems, mental and emotional health problems, and I've seen how dedicated they were to making sure that they got home every day, came home to their kids, and tried their best and their damnedest to set them on the right path. Andy Reid could never say that. He just didn't have the time. But he may have had the time, but he didn't take the time. And he wound up getting fired from the Eagles anyway. He was on his way down. But could it be that he didn't like his family? So a head coach is never home. And I mean N-E-V-E-R. Never, ever home. They have wives and kids and all of that kind of stuff, but they're never home. They sleep, they're always doing team activities, going through tape and all of that kind of stuff. They don't go on vacations. They don't go on staycations. They don't go on weekend getaways. Their whole lives is dedicated to building those sports franchises, particularly when you are an NFL coach. And you would think that after the season is over, then they could kick back a little bit, relax. No, no, no. An NFL coach's season is never over. You're always constantly preparing for the next season, the next game, recruiting, all that kind of stuff. It's a crazy job. But maybe it suits the people who don't like their home. Maybe it suits people who hate their home life. Make sure y'all hit that like button, y'all. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. This is the Daily Go Get a Business Show. I'm throwing ideas out there. We're talking about going out to escape the hate. Can your home be where you hate so much that you make sure that you find every excuse or reason to stay away from it? That's what we're talking about tonight. If you would like to call into the show, I invite you to call in. And the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. Once again, the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. Press number one, and that will let me know that you would like to speak, and then I will call you out by the last four digits of your telephone number. You can rock a rock on it, do the damn thing. Peace, T. Carrie, right, morning, noon, and night. It's always great to have my peoples going directly into your side. And Carol J. Valen, my friend, me, favorita, always really great to see you. My brother from another mother, Norrisville, sit back, relax, do your thing. Max and Chill and Ansel Jones. Yeah, the Baltimore brother, yeah, the girl can't leave him alone. The things are coming through, my brother. And a Robbie Ming, my big sis, doing the thing, something like a queen for a king. She do a thing. So what do y'all think? Carol Simmons says, at Norris, home is where the hatred is. Norris says, I'm guessing this is how happy hour came to be a thing. Well, If we start talking about escapism, happy hour is about cheap drinks, right? Is it more about cheap drinks or is it more about the social atmosphere? It can mean different things for different people, right? Now, happy hour, to my knowledge, used to only exist after work on Fridays. Now, from what I understand, they have different happy hours on different days because it's about money where the business is concerned. Where bars and clubs are concerned, it's about money. We'll sell some liquor for cheap. We'll sell some liquor for cheap, and then, you know, we'll get people to come in here, buy liquor, buy food, you know, spend money. But now they have different happy hours. You might have like a Wednesday happy hour. Hold on, y'all. I don't know. The fuck? Nah, I don't. That's weird. That's very weird. Very, very weird. Very, very weird. Okay. Well, anyway. So, yeah. But you. One thing about happy hour is that you're out, you're drinking, you're being social, you're probably experiencing or practicing some form of escapism. Could it be because you don't want to go home? Sure. Could it be because you hate home? Sure. Could it be because you're practicing being able to be home by numbing yourself to the pain of sobriety, which will wake you up and validate the fact that you are home? What do you think? What do y'all think? Well, it's something that we have to take into consideration, no? It is. It's something that we have to take into serious consideration. What are we doing? What are we doing? Going out to escape the hate. Athletes, entertainers, truck drivers. Truck drivers make decent money. CDL license havers make good money. But you got to be out there on the road in order to make the big money. Out there on the road all the time. Now, most truckers claim to really like being home. And they try to structure their travels to where they can spend some more time at home. But their money is out there on the road. So they go out there and get it. They go out there and get the money, bring home the bacon, trying to make their home life in a way that will be more enjoyable somewhere down the road. Is it true? Is it a facade? Is it right? I mean, do you know any truck drivers? I've known some. I have. I've known some. And it's hard. I have to say, it's hard for me to say. I don't think that they hated their home life. But what did I know? Did I ask? Did I care? I don't know. I don't know. Now I'm asking because now I'm thinking about it. Have you ever lived in a place where you hate that you hated? Have you ever said, yo, as soon as I get up enough rent money and rent and security, you know, I'm going to get up out of this place. I can't stand it. Have you ever lived with somebody that you hated living with? Have you ever lived in living conditions? Have you ever experienced living conditions that were so unfavorable to your soul and your psyche that it made you almost feel like you were dead when you were there? Hey, but anyway, yeah. Have you ever experienced that? Many people have. You know, I'm not going to take for granted that I know how everybody feels about their home, and we could easily say that. Well, you can see the evidence. You can see the evidence of when somebody hates their life or where they live. You can't always tell. Nope, sure can't. Not always. Maybe a lot of times you can. But no, you can't always tell. Carol Timberland talking about Andy Reid, says his sons were drug addicts. I think one died of an overdose. Yeah, one of them definitely died of an overdose. And that was after he was supposed to have gotten cleaned and all of that kind of stuff. See, Andy Reid took time off twice. He took time off to get both of them together. They'd had some legal trouble, some shit going on with guns or whatever. They was running around here they was running around Jersey acting like little thugs, little rich boys. Their father was million. Andy Reid made a lot of money coaching the Philadelphia Eagles. He made a lot of money. He was not on a short salary. I think he made no less than $5 million a year being a coach. And when you think about the time that he put in, he earned that. So he took time off to deal with their legal problems and all of that kind of stuff. Both of them did a little bit of time in county jail, a little bit. But he took time out to try to fight their cases, help them, you know, get legal counsel and all that kind of stuff. And then the other time he took some time off was for his son's funeral. Andy Reid did what he did. He did what he could to try to get them out of trouble, get them out of their addiction or whatever, whatever. I don't think that he ever got them out of their addiction because one did die of an overdose. And I remember he took 2 days off too. And that would include the funeral. He took 2 days off. What the hell? I don't know. You can say whatever you want to. You ain't going to tell me that you love your son or your daughters or any of your kids or anybody in your family and you ain't take but 2 days off. Man, that football will wait. You know how many coaches, for example, the coach who came after him, two coaches after him, who actually won a Super Bowl for us, Doug Peterson took off a year when he left the Eagles. When the Eagles let Doug Peterson go, he took off a year. He just started back coaching this year. Now. He said, coaching will be there when I get back. I'm a little disenchanted with NFL coaching right now. He took off a year. I don't know what he spent his year doing. But I bet you he probably finally got some sleep. He probably got some rest. He didn't have to eat, sleep, and shit football 24 hours a day the way it's required when you a football coach. Maybe Doug Peterson liked his home. Now, I mean, if you think that it's ridiculous that these athletes might not like their home, look at what Tom Brady did. You can defend Tom Brady if you're a Tom Brady fan all you want. But Tom Brady announced his retirement and then said, nah, I think I need to play again. Tom Brady has achieved more in NFL football than anybody walking this earth before or after. More Super Bowl appearances, more Super Bowl rings. Six Super Bowls. Six of his own. Nobody else can say that. Nobody. I don't think Tom Brady was ready to be home and be a husband, father, man. I don't think home is where his heart is. His retirement never even had a chance to get off the ground. Could it be that the illustrious Tom Brady, the great Tom Brady, don't like his home? Could it be that home is where the hate is? Could it be that home may be where he has to deal with who he really is instead of who the quarterback is? I don't know. I can't speak for it. But I know his ass came back to football And you ain't going to tell me, I know he has a really big ego, but you ain't going to tell me that it has anything to do with winning another Super Bowl. I'm not buying that. I think that he quickly found out that his home life is unfulfilling for him, and he hasn't had to deal with that part of himself in the whole 2000s. So almost his entire adult life. What do you think? And so Jones says, I used to love going on short assignments for three or four months to get away from seeing the same people. Wow. Okay. All right. Okay. Nara says, Gil Scott-Heron did have a song called Home is Where the Hatred Is. Ooh. Yeah, Carol, I accidentally clicked the enter. Okay. All right. Carol says, people use happy hour as an excuse to spend a lot of time, as an excuse not to spend a lot of time at home. Nara says, over the road trucking has been called the other woman. How about that? It sure has. It sure has. Wow. Carol says, and Norris, I've heard that. And some I knew actually had other women in other states. That's true. I've definitely heard that too. Yep. Carol's talking about Tom Brady. Retired and returned. You know who else did that? Brett Favre. Brett Favre used to announce it. For about 4 years, he kept announcing his retirement because he didn't want to go to training camp. Oh, lazy bastard. He's like, man, I ain't going to no damn training camp. I'll see y'all when the season starts. He did that shit three seasons in a row. Remember when he left Green Bay? He did that shit three seasons in a row. He announced his retirement like, yeah, I'm out. And then at the end of training camp, like, yo, I'm still in shape. I'll come back. Y'all know I know I'm a gunslinger. I can throw that ball. Yeah, look. Football veterans hate training camp. And I can't blame them. The living conditions, you know what I'm saying, sharing living space and all of that kind of stuff, like you still a young boy in college and all of that, or a rookie. You're like, man, forget. Listen, I'm making $50 million, $100 million. I'm not living like that. I'm not sharing space with some stinky ass, wet behind the ears rookie. I ain't doing it. And so says. They hired him. What does that say about the owners? Owners just trying to get money. They don't care. They're like, yeah, training camp, schmaining camp. That's for coaches and all of that. I don't care. Look, as long as you filling up stadiums, that's our Super Bowl every year. Look at the Dallas Cowboys. They ain't won no Super Bowl in how long? They ain't won but three playoff games since year 2000. Three. But financially, they win the Super Bowl every goddamn year. Because they the Dallas Cowboys. They sell a lot of merch. Bring in a lot of residue. Fill up their stadiums. Year after year after year. Jerry Jones wins the Super Bowl financially, regardless of who wins it actually. No trophy, but I bet you he hoisting that financial trophy every year. Yeah. Narciso says, becoming critically ill and immobile, bedridden, forced to think and take it, inventory. I can dig that. That's real. Stacey White. Stacey. Did I see you before, Stacey? Did I speak to you? If I didn't, I apologize. If I did, then hi again. And Sal Jones says, prime time game with a losing record. Nah, man, I could go on for days about how much I hate the Cowboys and their obnoxious fans. But most of their fans aren't from Dallas. So I'm going to say Dallas Cowboys fans hate home. They hate all of their home teams. Think about I don't even know nobody from Texas that maybe I don't know enough people from Texas. But all the Cowboys fans that I know, none of them are from Texas. Go figure. Now, y'all think about that. Now, think about the people you know. Wherever you live, you know Cowboys fans, and they from where you live at. They're from where you grew up. Coincidence? I think not. I think not. They hate home. Cowboys fans hate home. Home is where the hatred is. But they the ones hating. They the ones hating. Yeah. All right, y'all. So I'm about to put a little something in your head. Put a little something in your ears this evening. It's something to think about. So let's think about it. When you get time, home. Is home where the hate is? Do you hate where you live? Does where you live make you hate yourself? What's going on? What's going on with you and your home? You and your house? What's good? No, it says, but what if the hate follows you to the hospital or rehab in the form of family or significant other? Exactly. I mean, I can't answer that question. All I can do is agree with the question that gets asked. Because that's what I'm asking is not necessarily the physical home that makes you hate, but maybe it's the thought of that home or the contents of that home or the inhabitants of that home that makes the home such an unbearable, unloving place for you. You call this a home? Not me. It sucks. Let's do these birthday shout-outs. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. August 30th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special, because they are special, because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Dion Faith Harper. Happy birthday to you and Oshia Brown. Happy birthday to you. And Gwen K. Landrum turning 48 years old today. And Deirdre Williams turning 48 years old today. And Timothy Warren turning 50 years old today. And Latasha Marie, happy birthday to you. And Marquita Simmons, happy birthday to you. And Harvey Stevens Jr. turning 55 years old today. And Yolanda Page turning 57 years old today. And Rashonda Henry turning 35 years old today. And Sharon Wilkerson turning 56 years old today, and Sarah Reed turning 39 years old today, and my girl from the D, Shantrice Renee, yay, happy birthday to you, and Michelle Lewis, happy birthday to you, and Charnette Wilson turning 53 years old today, and last but not least, Ernest Moore, happy birthday to you. I want to say happy birthday to all of y'all and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious. August 30th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally, all of y'all go ahead and turn up but don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. I hope that today finds you good health, happiness, mind, body, soul, and spirit. You rock out, rock out, rock out. Rock out, rock on, and do the damn, to do the damn thing. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. So rock out, rock on, and do the damn, to rock out, rock on, and do the damn, rock out, rock on, and do the damn thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind, and anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, listen. Home can be where the haters, and it can be one of the main reasons why you elect to stay outside of the home or away from home or avoid coming home or try to spend as little time at home or even put on the facade that you are a homebody or a family man or a person who values their home all you want. You know, you can portray to the world whatever you want the world to see and however you want the world to see you. But the reality of your existence always is going to exist right here, your third eye, right here in your mind, your real universe. So it doesn't matter how much makeup you put on it. It doesn't matter how much you douse it with alcohol or try to smoke it out or pop pills, sniff coke, shoot dope in your veins, whatever the case may be, whatever your escape method is, how you really feel about whatever your involvement is with something, particularly at home, is going to come out. Somebody's going to see it. They're going to catch it. Whether they say so or not is irrelevant, because there have been plenty of times when I have decided I see something, but I don't have to say anything about it. They're doing their own thing. They're minding their business. I'm going to mind mine. I see you over there fronting, homie. I see you. Oh, yeah, I see you. But it's not my job or my time to tell you how to live or what to do in your life. As long as you're not seriously affecting my life or anybody else. But you owe it to yourself to try to create the best living experience that you can for yourself, whether we're talking about home or away. If away is a better home for you, then so be it. But I think that it would benefit you to try to have that benefit you as much as possible. Live your truth. Live your truth. Live your truth and love your life. Do you understand going out to escape the hate? If outside makes you feel better than inside, then stay your ass outside. Make outside the best inside that you can have. Like I said, love yourself and live your truth. All right, y'all. Yo, once again, man, please hit that like button. Please share the show. And please subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. Emily Dunlap in the house coming through late. Was glad you came on out. Word. All right, y'all. So peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. I love y'all right back to life. We're going to get on up out of here. So Blog Talk, I'm going to get your back. All right. And for my YouTubers, you know just how we do, but thanks for coming on through. See you on the other side, my boobers. Peace.